at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Ba-da, ba.
Mamas and papas for you there on a Monday morning. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you. It is the first day of May on this Monday. May Day, is that what that is? Technically, I guess maybe it is. Anyway, in a few minutes, E.J. Anthony of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. We are going to talk about the Joe Biden administration's decision to raise home buying costs for responsible people to the benefit of those less responsible. Yeah, we got to even the playing field. You got good credit? Well, that's too bad for you. We're going to lower your abilities by raising some of your rates. Okay, we'll talk about that a little later. And the media cheers at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when Joe Biden says that he is running again. So here's the question. Would they have done that for Trump? I don't think so, but we'll take a look at that whole scenario. And a 12-year-old, a boy, is sent packing from school when he shows up wearing a T-shirt with five words on it. We are going to tell you what those words were. Stay tuned. End in our Ultimate Top 10. We have a good one. You know how the banking industry and Republic Bank, all of that, wobbly? We're going to tell you the 10 largest banks in the U.S. towards the end of our show. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, speaking of that, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, has accepted a bid from J.P. Morgan. I guess they're technically J.P. Morgan Chase, to pick up First Republic Bank. They are going to assume all the deposits of First Republic. I don't know then if they're just going to get rid of the name First Republic, just swallow it whole or what. The San Francisco-based bank, First Republic, has been struggling since the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in early March. And it was widely seen as the bank most likely to go under. So there you go. It was just announced before the stock market opened this morning. Investors and depositors were getting increasingly concerned about First Republic and that it would not survive. It was like a week ago or so, or a month ago, it was like $150 a share, and it was down to about like $3 and change for First Republic Bank. So here we go. Now, maybe it's a good thing when another bank buys a bank like First Republic. And I don't know all the scenario here, but we don't want the taxpayers to foot the bill for all of the guarantees, et cetera, that First Republic must have made to some of the people that they did business with. So we'll see where all of that goes. Oh, yeah, first, here it is. First Republic closed at $3.51 on Friday. Last year, it was trading at $170 a share. Now, the question is, are we going to have some more banks like that that are going to go down the tube, you know? Our whole financial scenario in this country is wobbly. We're doing lots of things wrong. We just we don't seem to care anymore about the value, the responsibility, all of the things economically. And this is what happens. This is really what happens. Now, did you get a gander at Biden at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Do you not think there's a liberal bias in the media? Reporters cheered after Biden acknowledged his re-election announcement at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He said, yeah, I know. I just announced my re-election campaign. Everybody cheered.
Sure, they were all liquored up by then.
They don't need to be liquored up to cheer for him. They've been covering for him sober or drunk. A non-adversarial relationship with the press. They don't ask him any questions. Can you imagine? First of all, Trump didn't even, I don't think Trump showed up at the last couple of correspondence dinners. And there's no reason.
There was no reason. Why would you want to be friends with people that threw lies at you all the time?
Yeah.
And no, I wouldn't have.
Went after you.
In fact, I would have made him pay double.
Really, yeah. And if I was Trump and I had gone to a White House correspondence dinner, I'd have to bring my taste tester with me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I heard Biden tried to tell jokes, too. Well, he read the jokes that somebody wrote.
Oh, of course he did.
Here's one. You ready?
Go ahead.
You got a seatbelt on because you're going to laugh right out of your chair.
Let me find my seatbelt. Go ahead.
I have a lot of Ron DeSantis jokes ready, but Mickey Mouse beat the hell out of me and got there first.
That's it? Very good. He probably screwed that joke up, too. Yeah, in fact, here's, let's see here. During his speech, the president addressed and joked about concerns over his age. He says, I get that age is a completely reasonable issue. It's on everybody's mind, by everyone. I mean, the New York Times, he said, headline, Biden's advanced age is a big issue. Trump's, however, is not. The thing about that, Mr. Biden, is that he's not walking around and bumping into walls with his head.
It's not
where you don't seem to know where you are.
It's not the age.
It's not the age.
It's the amount of marbles that are left upstairs.
It's not the age at all.
No. That's why they give you tests, and that's why you won't take one.
He says, call me old. I call it being seasoned. You say I'm ancient. I say I'm wise. He's not even wise. What's he talking about? He's ancient and stupid. He also seemed to joke about often avoiding questions from the press. He said, in a lot of ways, this dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away.
Now
that's kind of funny, because that's exactly what he's doing.
He made a joke, or he read a joke that was written for him. And I think if this would have been read anywhere else, this would have been a homophobe. You ready?
Yeah.
He says, now look, he can't be too rough on Ron DeSantis. After his re-election as governor, he was asked if he had a mandate. And he said, hell no, I'm straight.
That kind of went over funny.
I don't know. That. I'm offended.
I bet you are.
I'm offended. Who do I write? I want this guy out of office. I'm writing an email to somebody.
Write Kamala Harris, because she's looking for reasons to become president. Everybody's talking about the fact. Nikki Haley.
That's the biggest fear.
We talked about Nikki Haley on Friday, saying that she doesn't think he's going to survive another term.
Well, I don't think
he's reelected. Because he would be 86 at the end of his second term, you know. He's not. The way he's going, I mean, he might not die in office, but he'll be so completely out of it then that, you know, that they have to remove him, you know, something like that. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, E.J. Antony, the Heritage Foundation, is going to be with us. We are going to talk about the Biden administration's decision to raise home buying costs for the responsible home buyers to the benefit of those with lower credit ratings. Stay tuned.
You got the love, you got the power, but you just don't understand. Girl, you've been charging by the hour for your love.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. We thank you so very much for being with us and delighted to have back E.J. Anthony. He is a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with E.J. about home buying rates. This is unbelievable. I think it starts today, by the way. The Biden administration is imposing higher mortgage fees on borrowers that have good credit and is reducing the fees for those with bad credit. Now, I don't even understand how they think that's going to make people, what's the word, more excited about Biden. Or I just don't see how that works. I think most people with any kind of sense would say this is ridiculous. EJ, what say you about this?
Well, ridiculous is certainly one word for it. That's probably the only word I can think of that's appropriate to say on public airwaves, quite frankly. I mean, this is so absolutely outrageous. We are literally punishing people who have been responsible. We're providing basically a penalty for prudence and an incentive for insolvency. If you have been good with money, if you have repaid your debts, you get hit. If you have not, if you have maybe not been good with borrowing and repaying money, guess what? You're getting a handout.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I think you mentioned this, that good borrowers, on average, will be stuck paying about $15,000 more. $15,000 more over the life of their loan. Is that right?
Right. And now imagine if you're one of the people who live in an area of the country, especially in places like Florida, where we've seen land values appreciate so much. You're really getting hit because the home you're buying is going to be more expensive than the average.
Yeah, you're right. And here in Florida, that's exactly what seems to be going on right now. Now, you go on to say that back at the start of the year, Biden's FHA, or FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, increased the fees that were charged to homebuyers with good credit and sizable down payments while reducing. I didn't even know they had already started doing this. Where did they come up? Where do they come up with the ability to just like wave a magic wand and say this? Is this just an agency that has power run amok?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. I mean, we are basically seeing yet another example of what happens when Congress essentially hands over their authority to the executive branch. The executive branch takes, when they're given an inch, they take a mile. And what we've basically seen is all in the name of things like providing financial stability, all of a sudden these executive agencies are now grossly overreaching from their mandate and are now trying to push things like equity for example. So because, you know, it's not really these people's fault that they have such terrible credit. It's not really these people's fault. They shouldn't be punished with a higher interest rate. So instead, we're going to punish the people who have been responsible, and we're going to subsidize those who have been irresponsible. And this is shockingly similar to what we did in the run-up to the housing crisis when we created the subprime mortgage mess, when executive agencies said, you know what, we need more minority home ownership, so we're going to start ignoring things like your credit score, which is basically what they're doing right now in determining interest rates. We're going to ignore things like your credit score in order to try to improve minority home ownership. And ironically, they hurt those minorities because they got them into loans and into homes that they couldn't afford and that they ended up defaulting on and losing.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I'm old enough to remember, even during the Jimmy Carter administration, they tried a trick like this. We're talking with E.J. Anthony, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. His expertise includes looking into these kinds of crazy things. So, E.J., what can Congress do? Can they grab back their authority on this? I mean, do you think the Republicans in Congress might try to stop this?
Well, they certainly should. You know, now that conservatives do ostensibly have half of Congress, they should be launching lawsuits. They should be saying, no, this is unconstitutional. You do not have the authority to do this. And there's a long list of things that they could add to that list that the Biden administration has been pushing, things that are unconstitutional. You know, this is just the latest of many, quite frankly.
What does the Biden administration think they're going to get out of this? Why would they do this? Do they actually think that somehow certain groups of people are going to say, oh, yeah, now I'm going to vote for you? Is that what's really behind this?
Well, if I'm wearing my economist hat, there is no explanation for this. So let me take that off for a moment and put on my cynic hat.
Yeah.
And it says, absolutely, they're doing this for votes. Because there's no other logical explanation for this. There is no positive good to be accrued to the nation at large or, frankly, even to individuals. So this has to be for political gain. Even the people that you are supposedly helping with these lower interest rates, all that means is they're going to take out a bigger home because you've lowered their monthly payment, right, by lowering their interest rate, but then they just turn around and make up for that by getting a larger loan. So far from actually reducing their payment, you're keeping their payment exactly the same. You're just creating systemic risk.
Yeah. So now are we going to have all these defaults again with people that have no business, getting a mortgage?
Well, fortunately, as bad as $15,000 sounds, this is actually nowhere near as bad as the subprime case was, because in that instance, far from somebody being able to take on a larger mortgage, let's say, which is what we have going on right now, in the subprime crisis, you had people who wouldn't have qualified for any mortgage at all getting one. So this is not nearly as bad. However, you are still creating the same kind of bubble. It's just going to be a smaller one.
Okay, so let's, for those of us, including me, that sometimes gets confused about how all of this works. So now, you know, somebody puts their house up for sale. This means that more people will apply for loans to purchase that house that normally would not. And those places that are selling loans, I mean, I would, if I was, a bank or a savings and loan or whatever, and I was selling a loan, I'd still want to have somebody with good credit because I wouldn't want them coming in and taking out a loan with me and then, you know, 4 months later, not making any payments. Or is it because the government is going to get under the loan and no matter what this guy does or lady or whatever, it'll be covered?
So here's why banks today don't worry about if the loan goes south 4 months from now. The loan usually only stays on a bank's books for a few months. And then after that, it is sold. It is sold to a financial industry which packages all those loans together and sells it as a tradable security called an MBS or mortgage-backed security. And this is what infamously went south during the subprime meltdown. Okay. You had all these MBS that were worthless or feared to be worthless. And so, this actually hints at how these executive agencies are making this happen. You have groups, you have these firms like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that are telling banks, look, unless you abide by these standards, then guess what? We're not going to buy your mortgages from you, and that's going to really reduce your lending potential and therefore your profit. So it's not as if anyone has their boot on the heel of Wells Fargo saying, you must charge these interest rates. But what they are doing is saying, look, unless you charge these interest rates, you are going to be at such a competitive disadvantage that every other bank is going to basically steal all your business.
It's like blackmail.
So they effectively do have a gun to these banks'
yes,
heads.
They're blackmailing.
But,
go ahead.
Right. Yeah. But even though that's effectively what's happening, they can say, technically, we're not doing that.
If I were the Republicans, I would be screaming about this to the rafters right now. And, you know, pointing the finger at and trying to make this. I don't know if Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, is doing that, but boy, I sure would. I'd get on him to make a big deal out of this. And talk about what's really going on. You know, it's like we're afraid to educate. Like, you know enough about it, and there are good people like you that are around that are trying to, you know, spread the true word on this. We're always afraid that the public will not understand this, and therefore we leave the topic alone. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. But the other thing is that it is like drinking from a fire hose these days in D.C. I am amazed at how many times I talk to people in Congress, for example, and they are unaware of some of the regulatory maneuvers of this administration, because you have to realize that the biggest employer in the government, the executive branch, is just doing nothing but a massive regulatory assault right now on every aspect of our economy. And it is frankly difficult to keep up day to day with everything they are doing.
Yeah.
And so it makes it very easy for them to try to slip things like this through. That's why I'm so happy to be here talking to you today, even though it's a miserable topic.
Yes.
We need to get the word out.
We need
people to be aware.
You know, and then the Fed, I don't know, are they planning on raising rates again, which of course will affect home buying and mortgage rates, right? Are they going to raise rates again, do you think?
I am very, very confident that we're going to see another rate increase later this week. And it's really a shame, because the Fed has totally painted themselves and therefore the nation into a corner right now. And there is no good way out of this situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we're going to have higher interest rates. We're smacking down those that have good credit. And in some ways, it's a disincentive for these with people with good credit to go out and buy things and, you know, borrow. But it's going to be an inducement to those with bad credit to go out and borrow, which in the long run puts all this responsibility, again, on the backs of the taxpayers, right?
Right. I mean, you know, the name of the game is bailout, unfortunately. And just like we're seeing with all of these bank failures on a very large scale, where the taxpayer is going to be on the hook effectively, we're seeing the same thing at the micro level.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So is there any hope at all? I mean, do we just need a new administration? Are we ever going to be able to rein in some of these agencies from doing these kinds of things? You know, it seems like these agencies are becoming independent and kind of running off on their own and doing things that they really have no constitutional right to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure there is much of any hope for this administration. I mean, I suppose there's you know, always the chance for a miracle, but absent that, I think our best hope is going to be outside of this administration, looking at other institutions like the courts and like Congress.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Can we bring a suit in front of a court on this one and say this is, this is not the responsibility of the executive branch or something?
I think in those instances, and I'm not a lawyer here, so you know, feel free to, mm-hmm. to have one on to correct me.
Right.
But I believe it becomes a question of standing, and so you would mm-hmm. need Congress, a branch of you know one of the houses of Congress rather, to actually sue and
right.
to say, you are overstepping your authority and you are impinging on our authority to make these types of laws.
Yes. And maybe that sounds right. That sounds like what we got to do. I hope that we can goad Republicans in Congress to consider doing that. EJ, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much for coming on, and I look forward to our next conversation with you.
Likewise. Looking forward to it.
All right, sir. EJ Antony. Golly, you know, it's just driving me crazy. You get depressed with all of these things that are going on with these people that are currently in the executive department doing the kinds of things that they're doing. It really, really sad. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, a 12-year-old boy is sent home from school when he shows up wearing a T-shirt with five words on it. We're going to tell you what they were.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday, May the 1st. Wow, moving along in this year. Hey, Ed, guess who's in court this morning? Two guesses, and the first one doesn't count.
Trump?
No.
No?
The other side, Hunter Biden.
Oh.
Hunter Biden's in court this morning. They finally got him into a courtroom. He is involved in a paternity suit, Northeast Arkansas. That's where this hearing is taking place. He apparently doesn't seem to want to pay the money that he originally was supposed to pay for that out-of-wedlock child that he had. Let's see here. The mother is asking an Arkansas judge to hold him in contempt and send him to jail. She claims he's ignoring court orders, requiring him to turn over documents about how much money he makes. Poor guy, he's pleading. He's basically pleading he doesn't have the money to make the payments. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. This guy he's a real piece of work, isn't he?
Well, now this woman, I believe she had a paternity test and everything. So she has proof, right?
That's right. He originally said it wasn't his child, and a paternity test proved that it was. She's a 32-year-old Arkansas woman. By the way, her name is Lundeen Roberts. She gave birth to a baby girl in August of 2018. So if my math is correct, the child's going to turn 5 this year. Originally, good old Hunter denied he was the father. She filed a paternity suit. It turned out that he was the father. In his memoir, this is nice. He has a memoir. Oh, I'm so pleased. In his memoir, Hunter said he denied paternity because he had no recollection.
Oh, works all the time.
Well, yes. Well, now I feel that's justifiable. Why should he pay if he had no recollection?
Why doesn't that work in court when you say, gee, Your Honor,
I have no recollection.
I don't remember paying Stormy Daniels any money.
No recollection of his encounter. You know, and it could be true, now that I think of it. He might have been so out of it. But anyway, so there you go. He's in court right now.
Well, at least be honest, Your Honor, I was really chiefed up on crack and...
Mm-hmm.
A little alcohol. And
there you go. All right. Before we get to our story about the little boy, Illinois, New York, California have been hemorrhaging people, especially the high earners, who packed their bags for places like Texas, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina in recent years. This, according to newly released IRS data, major blue states have been losing a large amount of adjusted gross income as it moves across state lines, according to the statistics. This data, which is released every spring, shows that Illinois lost a net 105,000 people in 2021, costing the state approximately $11 billion in loss, a marked increase from years past. New York lost $24.5 billion in 2021. California lost $29 billion in 2021. Of course, it's the people that can afford to move that move.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the people
and
with more money.
Also, those some of those states are footing the bills for the illegals that are there. Like New York, it's costing them, what, like $5 million a day or something?
Oh, did you hear about Lori Lightfoot, by the way, pleading with the governor of Texas?
Now what?
Oh, I got to tell you.
Was she in one more bang before she's out?
She's still there, and she's hanging on by a fingernail, and she's going to be out. Outgoing Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago sent a letter to the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, requesting he stop sending migrant illegals to Chicago. She says it's a political motivation. Let's see what she has to say here. Of course, she lost her re-election earlier this year.
Did she actually use the word illegal? Because that just nullifies everything right there.
No, she uses the word migrants. Migrants sounds so pleasant.
Documented workers.
Migrants.
Obama changed that.
Migrants is now the politically correct term for the illegals.
Obama changes to undocumented workers.
Here's what she had to say. Nearly all the migrants have been in dire need of food, water, and clothing, and many needed extensive medical care. Some of the individuals you placed on buses were women in active labor, and some were victims of sexual assault. None of these urgent needs were addressed in Texas. Instead, these individuals and families were packed into buses and shipped across the country like freight without regard for their personal circumstances. Of course, she doesn't give a damn when they cross over the border into Texas or Arizona or California or wherever they're going. Mm. She doesn't care about that. She cares when they come into her city. And then she's got to pick up some responsibility for it. Okay. All right. Enough about that. Let's get to the boy. A 12-year-old boy, a student, was allegedly sent home from school after he refused to change his T-shirt that read, "There are only two genders." That's what his T-shirt read, okay? It's definitely a political statement. And I'm sure his parents had something to do with it. But anyway, his name is Liam Morrison. He's a seventh grader in Middleborough, Massachusetts. He said he was taken out of gym class, and he met with school staff. They told him that people were complaining about the statement on his T-shirt and that it made them feel unsafe.
Uh-huh. Oh, come on.
Really? I'd like to know about that one. And so he said this, yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe. They told me that I was not in trouble, but it sure felt like I was. I was told that I would need to remove my shirt before I could return to class. When I nicely told them that I didn't want to do that, they called my father. Thankfully, my dad supported my decision. He came to pick me up. What did my shirt say? Five simple words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening, just a statement I believe to be a fact. I think this was written out on a Twitter account, by the way. It sounds like his father or his mother is writing this to me. I mean, if he's 12, it's either that or he's pretty precocious.
Well,
I mean, his parents are supportive of him. We know that.
Sure, yeah.
And I understand that.
I mean, at 12 is an age where you start to start to figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Yeah. I just meant the way it was written. It's written rather well. Maybe he's very precocious.
Would it have been different if before that he wrote it said, in my opinion, there are only two genders. Would that make a difference? If it said, in my opinion.
He said it as a statement of fact on his T-shirt.
This is in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And then what he should have done is had painted on his chest when we told him to take his shirt off.
In gym class. He says, if you take off his shirt, there are still only two genders. Anyway, the kid was told that he was targeting a protected class and that he was a disruption to learning. He says, who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights?
Yes, that's the problem. It is not...
Yeah.
They want special privileges. If you draw attention to something like this, then it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
And it becomes a subject.
He goes on to say, I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. You know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. So, you know, he's kind of making a lot of sense here.
Isn't it the same as religion?
He says,
You don't ask people to push your religion on the same with your beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, if they can put their beliefs on a flag or on the chalkboard or on a banner, and they can somehow put it on school grounds, then I think he has a right to take his T-shirt and wear it and go in.
Exactly, exactly.
But here's the thing. All of these things, in a way, are causing all of these feelings, right? I mean, in the long run, if we step back, people are going back and forth at each other with all of this stuff. I kind of like the old days when you didn't do any of this stuff, you know? You just didn't.
No, it better things
you went to school to learn, and you didn't go there to voice any kind of a political or moral opinion or whatever you want to call it, you know? You just didn't. He says, I was told that the shirt was a disruption to learning. No one got up and stormed out of class. No one burst into tears. I'm sure I would have noticed if they had. I experience disruptions to my learning every day. Kids acting out in class, they're disruptive, yet nothing is done. Why do the rules apply to no one, to one, and yet not to another? Anyway, kind of an interesting thing. But, you know, again, you just want to go to class and go to recess and have your lunch and learn. And can we get back to that somehow?
No.
You know, we've just gotten so far away.
No, because somebody writes an email and then everything's all up in arms. We have to change everything because one person.
Yeah. Speaking about imposing on another one, Ed, homeless advocate. Let's see here. An Oregon-based homeless advocate is sounding the alarm about a proposed bill in Oregon that would decriminalize camping in public spaces. It's a bill known as the Right to Rest Act. The Right to Rest. Okay? That sounds nice. It would allow persons experiencing homelessness to use public spaces in the same manner as any other person without discrimination based on their housing status. It would basically allow them to come over if you owned some property and set up a tent on your easement.
Yeah, when I rest, I sit on a bench. I don't pull a tent out.
And this is a spokesman apparently for the homeless. He says this bill is madness. He says, explain to me how this serves any meaningful purpose to end this crisis, this humanitarian crisis. He says, this is backwards thinking. This is the kind of thinking that got us into this mess in the first place. He says, I'm not okay with this at all. Now, this bill is sponsored by a Democrat, of course, a couple of them. It states that homeless people should be able to have a reasonable expectation of privacy on any property that belongs to them, regardless of the property is located in a public space.
So, in other words, you pop a squat and then consider that your
set
space.
Set up your tent. Now that's your home. That's your space, right? The bill defines public space as any property that is owned in whole or in part by state government or a local government, or upon which there is an easement for public use. So that's why I'm saying you can actually go into somebody's neighborhood and get on the easement and maybe set up your tent. You know what I mean? What a mess.
You know, I always wonder, mess. You know, the people that have, and a lot of us do, the, you've got your house, your front lawn, and then you've got a sidewalk, and then you got an area and people park their cars. That's not really your property, I don't think.
That's right. Technically, the easement, that's why, you know, they can come along and
that's what I mean.
Your water main, and they can open it up, and they can check.
So they could pop a squat there, and you couldn't do anything. You'd have to have the sheriff.
Yeah,
you come and do kinda, something like
that. It becomes a real legal mess.
You can't say get off my property because it's not
But you have to maintain the easement. Even
exactly,
you you can't just let the easement go to pot.
Right.
You got to maintain it.
Right.
And that's your responsibility, your cost. Mm-hmm. You can't go and build the city for that, you know, whatever. Anyway, all right. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, did you know that Donald Trump is retiring the name Crooked Hillary? But he's got a name for Joe Biden, and we're going to talk about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Everybody say yeah.
All right, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the fantastic Tantalk Radio Network. And by the way, if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. And all you got to do is go to our website at your leisure. You can listen to any of the shows. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top there. Click on podcast. And Ed's got our most recent shows at the top, all the way down chronologically. You'll know who the guest is in the top 10 before you have to listen, so you can pick the one you want to hear for the topic, et cetera, et cetera. OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, listen to this. We just had E.J. Antony on, and this just broke. State treasurers and other top finance officials from 27 states this morning urged Biden to end what they called his unconscionable policy of forcing people with good credit scores to subsidize mortgage loans of higher risk borrowers.
Can you,
so there you go. That's how they're going to do it. They're going to do it illegally.
As a loan officer, how do you explain that to somebody that comes in and has great credit, whatever, and they say, well, we got this thing, the rate's going to be higher. And they're like, well, why is it so high when we've got good credit? Because your neighbor has bad credit. Is that how you explain that?
Well, you explain it that the government is forcing your hand, of course. But hopefully, I mean, this is such nonsense.
Every time you turn around, there's another arrow towards socialism.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. That's what
it is. I mean, the first is when you start giving out free money, you know.
That's what it is.
Tell people stay home from work.
You want to ruin a country? You want to ruin an economy? You want to ruin a culture? Just introduce socialism.
And all of this is for, all of this is for votes.
Take away incentive. Give everybody the same thing, no matter how hard they work in life. Take away responsibility. That's socialism. Former President Trump, he's retiring the Crooked Hillary nickname and actually assigning it now to Joe Biden. He's calling him Crooked Joe Biden. Now, come on now, Donald. You got to come up with something unique.
He's always going to be Sleepy Joe. Come on.
Yeah, come on. I mean, Crooked Joe Biden. We know he's crooked, but you got to come up with something better than
Stumbling
that.
Stumbling Joe.
Yeah,
whatever.
Stumbling, fumbling Joe. Let's see here. So Trump was in Manchester, New Hampshire last Thursday. Had about 2,000 people there. It's going to be an interesting race. Let's just put it that way. We're going to be doing a lot of talking about that. And one more story real quickly. Have you ever heard of Jeffrey Hinton? He's considered the godfather of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
He was a pioneer in it. In 2012, he and two of his students at the University of Toronto created technology that became the intellectual foundation of AI systems. And he is warning of danger. He joined a growing chorus of critics who say those companies that are using it are racing towards danger with their aggressive campaign to create products based on artificial intelligence. He said that he quit his job at Google, where he's worked for more than a decade, and became one of the most respectful voices in the field so that now he can freely speak out about the risks of artificial intelligence.
Mm.
He says this is going to be his new life's work. So, kind of worrisome about all of that. All right. Before we go into our top 10, it's a good one. By the way, we're going to give you the top 10 largest banks in the United States. I want to see if Ed knows what's number one. Ed, we've got a lot of sports that occurred over the weekend. First of all, our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning were eliminated by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I was sad
to see that. They lost in overtime in Game 6.
Yeah.
But on the, I guess on the more positive side, our Tampa Bay Rays, our baseball team, continues to shine, generally speaking.
Yeah, they took 3 out of 4 from Chicago, the White Sox, over the weekend. And then it shifts back here. They'll have the day off today. And
so they're still number one in the majors?
They are still number one.
And they've got, like, I think you and I were talking about, they got about the second or third lowest payroll.
Well, in come the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they are number 27 in the payroll out of 30, meaning
27th lowest.
Yes, because their total payroll
or third lowest. I should say
it's $75 million. The Rays are $73 million.
Okay,
and then Baltimore, and then Oakland.
So the Rays, Baltimore, Oakland, and Pittsburgh. Well, then we want to root for those teams, especially the Rays. Because we want to see teams that aren't paying that much money with players that can win.
I mean, it's got to be taken off the owners that are paying $300 million.
What's number one? The Yankees and teams and the Mets, right?
The Mets are up there, yeah.
Yeah, the Yankees.
And by the way, the Pirates, the Rays are 23-5, I believe, or 6. And the Pirates are 20-9.
That's good.
And they're leading their division.
Wow.
In fact, they have the best record in the American and in the National League, and the Mets have a $350 million payroll.
Wow. Does my heart good. Of course, I remember when Major League Baseball players had to have second jobs.
Yeah,
they had to have second jobs that because
we were talking about that, and football players back in the day. But the New York Mets are number one at $350 million, and the New York Yankees right behind them. $279 million.
Why am I not surprised?
And they're both at the bottom of the divisions.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Time for our top 10. I think this is an interesting one. This comes from Bankrate.com. These are the top 10 largest banks in the U.S. This is by what they call consolidated assets, according to the latest numbers from the Federal Reserve. Okay? Top 10 largest banks in the U.S. Number 10, the TD Group U.S. Holdings is number 10. I think TD might, believe it or
they're not stamping Toronto Dominion, but I'm not positive.
TD Bank.
Yeah, TD Bank. And their total assets, $387 billion. Number nine, Capital One Financial. I wonder if they're the ones with the Capital One credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Their total assets are $453 billion. Number eight, Goldman Sachs is number eight, $487 billion. Number seven, I've not heard of this one. Let me make sure I'm reading it right. Truist Bank. You ever heard of that? T-R-U-I-S-T Bank.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. $546 billion. Number six. PNC. Paul Neighbor Charlie Financial
it's
Services.
Northern Bank.
Yeah.
Do we have any branches?
No, I don't think so. PNC Financial. $552 billion. Number five. U.S. Bancorp. $585 billion. I have heard of them. Number four. Well, we got a lot of these around here. In fact, I am. I'm one of them. Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wells Fargo. Listen to this at $1.7 trillion.
Wow.
Now we're into the trillions. Number three. Citigroup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Citigroup. $1.8 trillion. Dollars. Okay, number two. Bank of America. I knew they'd be in here.
Better be.
They're out of the West Coast, I believe. Yeah. $2.4 trillion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, Ed.
Let's see. Let's go with the little bank. How about Chase?
Bingo.
Really?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we were talking about it.
Oh.
They're the ones that bought the First Republic.
Okay.
J.P. Morgan Chase. And they're way ahead of everybody else. Bank of America at second with $2.4 trillion. J.P. Morgan Chase is $3.2 trillion. So I wonder what they are going to do with the First Republic. I think they're going to swallow it.
You know, I remember in the early 2000s to mid-2000s, like around 2004 or 5, something like that, there were a lot of banks kind of merging.
Remember, we used to have
Barnett Bank.
We had Barnett Bank. We had Nations Bank.
Yep.
We had
changing checks for kind of loud.
Yeah. Remember South Trust?
Yes.
We had. There were so many.
Yeah.
I actually never changed. I stayed with the same bank. It changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through like four or five different banks.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, I was with Barnett for years.
Yeah, Barnett was a big bank here.
And then they were sucked up by, I think it was Bank of America.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there were all of these.
And I just remember so many banks changing. I remember the signs changing all the time out front.
When I first moved to Florida back in 93, we had all of those banks all over the place.
Hmm.
You know, vying for your money.
Yep.
And they, one by one, they got swallowed up. They really did. Yeah. All right. Well, we thank you so very much for listening. We are going to be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, would you be so careful with your life and always remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.